All righty, bless you. You all take your seats. You didn't have to jump up there. I was in a deer stand. I forgot that. Poor little deer. Gave his life for the gospel. I probably got one that night because I got 4 in 5 days, so I did good. But I forgot all about that. I'll tell you what, when I got her text about coming, I didn't hesitate. I got right back to you. I said I would come, didn't I? It just felt right in my heart. I don't always do that. Lately, I've been doing it a little more, but it really felt right to be here. I'm glad you're here, looking to have fun. You guys really showed up tonight. It's Friday night, cold and windy. I think you could have stayed home and ate supper and just hung out, you know, but here you are. This is amazing. So the Bible says when we gather like this, that we should never forsake gathering ourselves, right? Don't neglect it. Don't forsake it. But there's a reason, in order that we might stir one another up in love and good works. I think that's incredible and insightful because till I got saved and got on fire and got changed by God in 95, I went to church when I was young like you guys. Mom took me to church. But I didn't have a real understanding. And I picked up along the way too. And after I got saved, I really saw it. Like a lot of people have this idea like just that God's out there somewhere and hopefully he's going to protect me. Hopefully he's going to take care of me. Hopefully he's going to provide for me. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but a lot of times when people's lives are struggling in the natural and circumstantially, they make this push towards God, hoping that that changes the way things are going. And that's really not what God ever intended. Just sorry. Maybe I should have waited till the last session to bring this out. But it's really not what God ever really intended. When we gather together, it's so we stir one another up in what? Love and good works. If you notice, that combination is this. It's this way. It's you living this way. It's you becoming something in him for a reason. It's not just coming to him to get something from him. I'm just going to say it straight. I say this stuff over and over and over, trusting it's going to stick in somebody somewhere along the way. Like, you're not a Christian just for what he can do for you. Like, if all we do is pursue God for his blessing and what he can do for us, the people that only have that motive, I don't see them shining a lot. I don't see them staying blessed. I see them getting distracted. They're struggling with a lot of things. It's because of their perspective, their mindset, their reason for Christianity is different than what God's is. Is that fair enough? Does that make sense? So if I'm a Christian for me or for my sake, life's probably going to influence me a lot. If I'm a Christian for his name's sake, if I'm a Christian for the glory of God, it'll probably change how I respond to things and how I handle things. Fair enough? So I want to talk about some of that right there tonight. And it's just in my heart during worship. My heart was, I don't know. What are we doing? Tomorrow night and Sunday? So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 sessions. I felt like all 4 sessions were probably racing through me at one point over there. I was like, I had to just kneel down and say, Lord, when I get up there, I'm just going to trust. Because I had like 4 different things going through me. I could have probably preached on them all right then. But this is where my heart is right now. I want you to understand that Christianity is way beyond a theological belief. It's way beyond you just reading your Bible, doing your devotions, and trying to live better than you lived before you read your Bible. Christianity's way more than theological. It's relational. Christianity actually came from the people in Antioch were called Christians because they reminded the people of him. So if you look up Christianity, it actually means little Christ-like ones. And I think it's the greatest name to have, Christian. Now, because it's been mishandled, misappropriated, people don't want to use the word Christian because it's been misrepresented, but it doesn't mean that we can't live what it means. So some people say, well, I'm a discipler, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower of Jesus. They try to get creative with what they call themselves because they don't want to say they're Christian, because Christian has misrepresented Christ in a lot of ways. But that never has to be you. I'm excited to be called a Christian because it means a little Christ-like one. And when I look in the Word, people, this is what I find. that it was God's very own intention, that he made us that way, to express the fullness of who he is through our lives, to be actually filled with the Lord, so that who he is could be the expression through our lives. Somehow along the way, we turned it into him taking care of us, protecting us, providing for us. We've turned the cross into just going to heaven when I die, if we're not careful. And all of a sudden, it's just all about being in the right place when that time comes, instead of being in the right place right now, every day you live. If you look in Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, the sheep and the goats story is amazing. And the only difference between the two groups, the one group lived outside of themselves and saw the needs of others. The other group didn't even see the needs of others. Yeah? It's not that one group prayed the sinner's prayer and the other one didn't. It's not that the one group went to church and the other one didn't, or VBS growing up. The one group loved the world around them by seeing the things they needed around them. And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of them, you did it to me. Do you see how much he's relating to people in that story? We think we're serving the Lord by doing something just in church. He said, when you did those things to them, you did it to me. Do you see how much he's relating to people? The group that didn't see the need and didn't address the need, when did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison? We never saw you in those places. He said, for as much as you failed to do anything to the least of these, you failed to do it unto me. So that's a real simple answer. When I'm loving people, I'm loving him. Why is that important? Because every time I do it, I'm sowing a seed. The kingdom of God is if a man what? Scatters seed. I want you to see your life tonight. This is what came on my heart when you all were singing up here. And I felt like the Lord said to share this. It's not something that I think I could go through a whole lot of YouTube videos and find necessarily me starting a service this way. But it's what I felt like the Lord said. I want them tonight to see their life as a seed in the lives of others. See, if you don't sow, nothing's going to grow. Who's a gardener? You know that's true. Who's a farmer? You sure know that's true. Nobody ever just had faith over their field to produce corn. They had to crank up the big old tractor. They had to turn the ground, and they had to get the seed in there. Yeah? Now, you can't make the seed grow. The Bible will teach you that. The Bible says the seed all by itself grows. You sow it, and you can go to bed. I want you to see your life tonight. I feel like the Lord wants us to see our life in this great privilege of a seed form into the life of another. Every time you walk in love, every time you show mercy, every time you pursue peace, every time you tone down a tense situation with some expression, whether it's a soft word, a kind word, or no word, there's a manifestation of him. The Bible says that the Christ, it's Colossians 1, it says, the Christ in you and me is the hope of the glory of God. The Christ where? Not the Christ out there that we're praying to, we think, and then he shows up. I think sometimes we're too impersonal. I think we're praying to a God out there and not realizing he's right on the inside of us. He's right on the inside of us. And he's not lacking any good thing in that present being of who he is in us, who he is. He comes in the person of Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is everything that he is. Like, Holy Spirit isn't less of who he is. He is who he is. Actually, Scripture says the Lord is the Spirit in Corinthians, and it's like, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was the Lord. The Lord is the Spirit, and the very next verse says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Spirit is the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is. He's like interchanging, and he's saying, hey, we're all one and the same. There's not more of me in him or less of me in him. So in the person of Holy Spirit is the fullness of who he is. In the person of Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2, and I'm complete in him. I'm not lacking anything, I'm complete in him. So I'm empowered in Christ to live my life for what God intended. And this is what I want to talk about tonight, that you have a purpose from God in your life. We all actually have the same purpose. I think it's amazing that God didn't make a bunch of clones, that we all look different. Amen. Like there's diversity, look around. There's huge diversity in the room. Nobody looks alike. Oh, there's some tendencies and features, and oh, you have her eyes, and wow, I see your daddy in you. But we all look different. Now, that's been a trap to most of us, because growing up, the world created something messy with that. Like people that fit in, people that don't fit in, looks, size, all that stuff has become a problem in humanity. But I think God did it on purpose. He made us all different, but we can all live the same. We can all look the same. We can all love the same. We can all shine the same. So are we different? Paul calls it one mind, one spirit, one faith. He calls it the unity of faith. Yeah? I think it's incredible that different cultures, different ethnic backgrounds, different upbringings can all wake up with a revelation and all live the same truth, can all walk in the same light, can all love like he loves, can all forgive like he forgives. See, so if the world says one thing is handsome and this isn't handsome, this is and this isn't, this is beautiful and this isn't, and then we're pressured by that and get in all turmoil, we're going to miss the actual reason why we're here. Now we're in the wrong race. Or disqualified. I'm on the earth to love. And I'm just here to let you know that's why you're on the earth, and your love is a seed into somebody's life every time you love, every time you walk in love, every time you show mercy, every time you make peace. This is what it means that the Christ in you is the hope of the glory of God. We all pray for the glory of God. We all want the glory of God. We intercede for the glory of God. The glory of God is the manifestation of God. The glory of God is the manifestation of God. Do you know what that means? The seen and realized attributes of God is the glory of God. And the Christ in you is the hope of that glory. So we're not expecting him just to come from the clouds and fill the room like that's what we always think. We read something in our Bible and or we get an impression that, you know, because we see the thunderclap and he speaks and says, this is Jesus, he's my beloved son, right? I'm well pleased. And then I think we get this impression that the glory of God is some outward manifestation of God instead of me living my life by the Spirit revealing him. Come on, if that wasn't true, the Christ in you wouldn't be the glory of God. The Christ that shows up in the room, or the God that shows up in the room would be the glory of God, or the move of the Spirit here or there would be the glory. The Christ in you is the hope. There is a hope for the manifestation of God and for the glory of God revealed. Where is that in you and me? Now, if you were the enemy, you would try to suppress that. You would try to confuse that. You would get people to take life personal instead of the call of God. You would try to get people to get their eyes more on their circumstances instead of what they're here for. You'd get them to dread life instead of appreciate life. You'd get them to get hurt by others and let their story matter more than this truth that I'm trying to convey. Yeah? And even though Jesus did what he did, He would try to cover that over to make it like, poor me, or you don't know what I've been through, and you don't know what they did to me. Don't try to tell me God's good. Let me tell you what happened. Are you with me? Come on, if you're the enemy, that's exactly what you do. And you get every man for himself, every man thinking for himself, and every man only doing as good as life is going. And the whole time, it's how you started today. You said, we start these services, you said, look, no matter what you come from, and I know a lot of you are built up, some of you had to go through work all week, and this, and this, and this, and we're always expecting us to be heavy laden and burdened by life, and we're supposed to somehow unzip that and hang it up for service. And then what? Take the same mentality, put it back on, and go out and live the rest of the week now that service is in. How about just taking that whole mentality and never ever considering it again? I actually have good news for you. This isn't corrective. This isn't. God didn't just send his son so we can get our prayers answered and things go the way we hope. God sent his son so he can move back inside of us and live in us and express himself through us again. God actually sent his son so we could be one with him through the blood of Jesus that's speaking better things. So no matter where I've been, what I've done, how I've messed up, he's saying, hey, I know you're more than that. You can be more than that. I love you. I forgive you. Now come unto me. I'm going to give you rest. And then he moves into me and we become one through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I have a whole different purpose in life. My whole perspective changes. My eye was this wide and now it's single. And the hows and the whys, and he said and she said, well, you don't know, well, that hurt. Well, how come they were? I don't know why, what? All that's changed. Yeah? No, it's just fun. For years, I think we've been tricked into just praying for things to go the way we hope they go. And if they don't go that way, we're wondering why God didn't answer a prayer. When's it going to change? And I've learned over the years that has nothing to do with nothing. Like, that's not why he's in me, for things to go the way I hope. He's in me to reveal himself in the middle of however things go. It's such a higher place. Because if that's not true, then the outcome determines me every time. And I'm only as good as things worked out. That's why so many people go to church and aren't encouraged. That's why there's a lot of sad folks in worship service. I'm not being mean, and I'm not saying it's you. There's a lot of discouragement. A lot of despair. There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of woe is me prayer requests if you really look at them. Amen. In the body of Christ. And it gives it away that we don't understand that we're called to shine in the middle of everything. That no matter what I'm going through, I look at what he went through so that he paid the price to put his life in me so that whatever I'm going through, his life is dominant. His life is my motive. His life is my purpose. Am I hoping somebody does me wrong? No, I'm hoping nobody ever does me wrong. But if they do, I'm not thrown by it. It's no reflection on God. It actually makes a draw on who he is. And every situation in life is an opportunity to shine. And here's what I heard over in that chair, that we need to understand this simple piece. Every time I shine, it's a seed into the heart of someone. Every time I shine, it's a seed into an unbeliever. It's a seed into another Christian. It's an example of how we can live our life through a single eye in the face of whatever. And all of a sudden, we understand that we're not a product of what we're going through. We've been changed, and we have a whole new view and a whole new reason for living. And all of a sudden, my cry isn't just for God to make things go the way I hope. It's to fashion me and form me in a better expression of who he is, so that when you squeeze me, Jesus comes out.
Amen. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. If you squeezed an orange for breakfast,
what would you expect to be in the glass? Orange juice. Now, if you put that glass to your lips, honey, and it was apple juice, and you squeezed an orange and you'd go, and it was apple juice, you'd probably go, spit it right back in the cup. What? You'd be looking at the orange, sniffing it, showing your sister, she'd be like, what? Mom, Dad. Would it be weird if you squeezed an orange and got apple juice? Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Man, that should be weird. And I bet you the devil has figured out, because he's real, I bet you the devil's figured out people don't really know why they're doing what they're doing where Christ is concerned. I bet he's figured out there's a lot of motives and reasons for people coming to God. People come to God so their marriage gets healed. People come to God when they get laid off and they don't think they're going to make it and might get bankrupt. People come to God a lot of times because they have need. The only scriptural reason to come to God is because you realize you were lost, you were separated from Him through your sins, and He paid a price to get you back to Him so you could be one, so you could get back to His purpose and the real reason you're on the earth. And it's not you. You're not the reason you're on the earth. He is. That's why it says, seek ye first the... He says, if you find your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose it for His name's sake, you're going to find it. Isn't that amazing? So we're in the world now. We're born again. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Why? We've been transformed by thinking different than we've ever thought before. That's Romans 12, 2. That's what renewing your mind means. We're not conformed to the world. We're transformed by the renewing of our... Now, I'm not saying this to you. I'm just saying this. I've seen countless Christians never get a new motive in their life when they get saved. Because they might just get saved to go to heaven. They might just get saved for a self-centered reason. They might actually get saved hoping to benefit from the salvation in the natural. And maybe God will just give them the promotion. Maybe God will bring their spouse back. They start reading their Bible. They go to church. They actually give in the offering. Just hoping, like, I hope you're watching. I'm trying. I'm just going to be straight. None of that has nothing to do with nothing. Paul said it this way, nothing in your flesh, Jew, Greek, Scythian, slave free, nothing avails anything, Galatians 6, and let accept a new creation. This thing is all about new life. Not even just restored life, it's new life. It's a new and living way. It puts you in a place where there's a new perspective, a new reason for being, a new motive. It's new life through Jesus Christ. We've turned that into a prayer to go to heaven instead of Him coming back into me and being one with me so He can express Himself through me in the midst of life and reveal His glory to as many as would see. Are you with me? That's why your attitude, your mindset, your reason for being, your perspective, your motive is so huge. Because if you don't understand this, you're going to get knocked out by circumstances. If you don't understand this, you're going to turn inward and feel sorry for yourself after a while. You take a 1-2 punch, you think that's knockout. Yeah? Why do these things happen? I just believe it's the enemy testing faith, trying to reveal that we don't really understand what we're singing about. I'm going to say this again, and I'm not being mean. I've met way too many people that go to church that live discouraged. It's a warning signal that we don't understand why He lives inside of us. We have this phrase, and we're not being hypo. You were talking about a good day, bad day. We have a phrase, when you understand and you're in Christ, there's no such thing as a bad day. There might be trying circumstances. There might be things you never wanted to happen and never hoped would happen, but there's no such thing as a bad day because you always have an answer in Christ. If I'm alive for me, it's a bad day. If I'm alive for His great name, I'm calculated and on point. If I'm alive for His glory, if my motive is I'm alive for His glory, watch this, I'm going to get a little straight with you now, a little intense. If I care about manifesting Him and revealing Him to the people around me, to my children, to my family, even if I think somebody in my home is wrong, I'm not going to let them being wrong work and produce a wrong in me. I'm not going to empower that. I'm not going to let what they don't see become my highest vision. He's the light of the world. I'm going to walk in the light as He's in the light. I'm not going to get tricked into, well, you don't know what I've been going through. Well, you don't know how long they've been doing this to me. Well, brother, you can't tell me after a while it's not going to get under your skin. No, I'm saying you get new skin. I don't want to let something less than Him so dominate my life and become a reason why I don't look like Him in the moment. I don't want to be an orange and you just squeeze me and there's apple juice in the cup, because that would be weird. Are you hearing me? So what's these trials and attacks that happen in our life? I think a lot of them are calculated. I think they're strategic. I think the devil takes our life and puts us on that little thing that we do the orange on, only it's something a little different called circumstances, trials, and stuff. And Christ ain't in the cup. And when Christ ain't in the cup, something else is in the cup. So now you're a wide open door to just get on there again. And again. And again, are you hearing me? Because if Christ was in the cup, He ain't going to get you back on there again. Because He ain't going to do that and keep manifesting Christ. Oh. Jesus said, the ruler of this world comes and he has nothing in me. I don't know about you, but that's an amazing comment the Lord said. And don't you get tricked into saying, well, that was the Lord, brother. No, no, He said, follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe in even greater things because I'm going to my Father. Yeah? It says we ought to walk in love just as, not somewhat like, just as Jesus loved. It doesn't say somewhat like, it says just as. I can show you in 1 John chapter 2, it says any man that says he abides in Him, lives in Him, remains in Him, dwells in Him, he ought to walk even as He walked. See, now we're always thinking power and signs and miracles. What about love? As the Father sent me, so I send you. We're always thinking power and miracles. For God so loved the world, He gave. He's talking about love. Isn't that what was lacking in our lives? Come on. The thing we called love was just an emotional thing. It was usually wrapped around need and what's in it for me, and wow, that really ministers to me. Wow, I love you. It's usually a beneficial. The thing we call love is usually something that benefits me. It's emotional, but love is agape. The love that He's talking about is God's love. It's a love that never fails because it doesn't seek its own. Guys, before we were born again, that's all we knew was seek our own. All we knew was seek our own. Come on, you didn't know anything else before you were saved, but Jesus said, if you come after me, you got to deny yourself. Come on. You don't seek your own. You seek first the kingdom of God. So you got to deny yourself. How can you seek your own and say you're denying yourself? But see, we didn't teach the gospel this way for a long, long time. Growing up, all my years growing up, all I heard was messages that benefited me, but didn't change me. In fact, growing up in some churches my mom took me, I heard messages that told me I was the way I was, and it's amazing God loved me, and I ought to receive it. Kind of saying I couldn't change. So it left me the same, but at least I'm forgiven. At least He shed His blood and forgave me, so when this thing's a wrap, we're all good. But there's some things about me that are just the way I am, and God's love is bigger than that, and he sees past that. And that's the impression that it left me as a young child. Who had that impression growing up? That you were a forgiven sinner at best. You were a sinner, but at least forgiven. But we're not. We're sons and daughters of God. We're delivered from the power of darkness. We're translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. As he is, so are we in this world. We live by the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we walk in the light as he's in the light. And we overcome evil with good. I read this Bible and people weren't teaching me this growing up. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God revealed to me, man, this thing, I'm giving all that I am. So that all that he is can come back into me and we can have this union and communion called Christ in me, the hope of the manifestation of God. Yeah? The glory of God is God being realized, seen and known. We already shared that. Watch this. The Christ in you is the hope of God being seen, realized, and known. The kingdom of God is if a man scatters a seed. We always think that's evangelism just to get somebody to pray a sinner's prayer instead of us living a surrendered life, walking in love, and showing people what selflessness looks like. Amen. Yeah? And some sow, and some come along in water, and God gives the increase. It says sometime you're going to reap where you haven't even sown. You're going to walk and live in such a way where a heart's going to melt around you, break around you. People say, well, I've never had that happen. Well, we got to make sure we're doing the first part. Some of us are just living our life in the name of the Lord, hoping it goes good. I mean, we're using our faith so we can get to work without too much traffic, so the lights are all green, and then we feel spiritual if it works. But then your boss says something and now you have an attitude and you're ticked and you're looking for a new job. That is not really that spiritual. So yay, the lights obey you. Whatever. You got victory over the lights. Woohoo! Now the world's a better place. Now that's self-serving, self-centered. Has nothing to do with walking in love. Who cares if your light's red? Sit there. Somebody, if yours is green, somebody's is red. You don't even think that. You say, I need green lights. What about the people behind the red? But you want all green. That means somebody got all red. And you ain't even thought about that, have you? Just using your faith for convenience and blessing and favor. But you're supposed to consider others more highly than yourself, not seek your own interests, but the interests of others. I can show you that in Philippians 2. I read it and it's there. And if you look, you'll see it's there. Yeah? It's a whole different perspective. If God can change our perspective, he'll change our whole life. Amen. And I'm being honest about this. If he truly, sincerely, genuinely changes our life, somebody's life around us is going to be influenced. Amen. In seed form. Amen. And somebody in our life is going to get watered. And God is going to cause an increase and a multiplication of what he's done in us in somebody. Because he did it in us. That's just how simple and clean this is. What a joy. So today's not a day to be discouraged. Today's not a day to take life personal. Today's a day to take this privilege personal. Amen. This calling, this destiny. Yeah? I don't know about you. I think we think like these big, big dreams. Like we just get these, I think we super spiritualize stuff. And we, you know, we think, well, if everybody in Walmart ain't on the ground screaming fire of God and knocked out, then we aren't walking in the anointing or something. No, if you're not walking in love, you're not walking in the anointing. If you're letting the actions of others dictate your heart, you're being tricked. The actions of Christ have locked me in to why I'm on the planet. The gospel taught me why I have life and why I woke up this morning. I didn't wake up hoping to have a better day than I had before.
I woke up to reveal him, to manifest him, to live him, to enjoy him, to commune with him, and to make him known without trying so hard. Why? Because I don't have any other way. I found the. Yeah? So I don't have options. He's narrowed it down to him. Come on, that's just simple. Where did I get all those other options? Fall of man, separation from God, wisdom of the world, the way that seems right to a man. So we get tricked in a language that doesn't promote what I'm preaching. Well, yeah, but brother, everybody has their issues. Come on, you got to keep it real. We're all going through a lot of challenging things, brother. And all of a sudden, we're talking ourselves back into the same cycle of not manifesting him, but manifesting our situations. Was Jesus in a whole lot of situations? Was he perfect? Flawless? Did he do right always? Was he treated right? Never. When he did good, people tried to figure out what had to be wrong with it. When he healed somebody, they said it had to be a devil. There was constantly a problem with men concerning him, and yet he was flawless and perfect. He'd feed their bellies, they'd come for more, not because they cared what he said, because they cared that they ate. He'd call them on it and minister to them, and they all walked away because they didn't want truth. They just wanted their needs met. His whole life went that way. He would preach and they would stand in the background and bicker and debate. Their questions always had a trick behind them. And yet, when I look, Wes, I never see him change. I never hear him say, okay, that's enough. You, sir, back in the corner, what was going through your mind, just push me over the edge. Yeah? Did people appreciate him? They just wanted his blessings. They really didn't want him. They had a lot of problems with him. Oh, they wanted their loved one healed. They sure didn't want his message. They wanted his blessing. They didn't want his truth. Did any of that change him? Did he still just taxi right onto the cross and lay down his life? Aren't you glad? See, I don't think we thought about this stuff. I think we read it like a history book, and it's just the story of Jesus, so it paints him a certain way, so that's him. But I think we miss that he's saying, hey, follow me. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. So this whole trick from the enemy is to decide what you believe and don't believe, and the expression of your life dictates what you believe. So if you're not encouraged, it's not that you don't have circumstances. But if you're not encouraged, there's something you've been tricked into believing more than what you're called to believe. The just live by. If you're not living by faith and you're just disappointed, then you've been tricked into living outside of something you're here to live for. That's all I'm saying. Why is that important? Because each seed after its own. So if you get deceived and distracted, the only thing you can sow is the lie. Come on, don't get hurt by that. Get challenged by that. This is a little thing I heard, that we're a seed. We're called to sow. Our life is a seed. But depending on where you're living from depends on what you're actually sowing. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me, either gather or you scatter. You know what we think in the surface of our mind? We just think people that don't go to church, didn't pray the sinner's prayer and get born again. So they're the ones that are against him. You're either for him, you either prayed the prayer and you go to church. No, you could pray the prayer, go to church, and have a mindset that's totally against what he's trying to do. He's saying there's nothing in between. You're either for me or against me. Now, you didn't wake up intentionally against him, but your attitude might be.
Your reaction to people might be. Your perspective and mentality might be against him. Does God have a plan when he sends his son? Is he the lamb slain before the foundation of the world? Wonder if Jesus for one day steps out of love and takes life personal, now he can't be working with the Father and fulfill the plan. Why? He became a product of something else. Come on, this thing is serious. It's not meant to be so overwhelming, but it should sober us. It should be like, oh my goodness, I got this little window called life. And I can actually walk in the light as he's in the light. I can actually sow seeds of who God is all the way through and trust that a harvest of him will spring up on the earth. Because each seed after its own. Let me tell you what happened in the garden. I don't even know if you realize what happened in the garden. All they knew was God in the Garden of Eden. Do you agree? That all they knew was God. They were made by God. They saw God, talked to God. God gave them instructions, and all they knew was God. They weren't created for the knowledge of good and evil. They were created for the knowledge of God. He said, when you eat of that tree, it's the day you surely die. You're not made for that tree. You're not even made to handle that tree. You're just made to live in me, to walk in innocence, to know me, to know my voice, and for me to be your father. When the serpent talked to Eve, it's the first time they heard anything other than God. See, I don't know if we think like this, but that's in your Bible for a reason. You got to realize another voice appeared. It was a voice that sounded like it knew God, knew God's intentions, knew what God said and commanded, but put a little twist on, and Eve got what? Deceived. Was that a different voice than God's that she was listening to? Was she made for the image of God, Genesis 1? Or was just Adam made for the image of God? Or was the woman made for the image of God, Genesis 1 as well? See, a lot of people miss that. We reduce you women as if you're less than a man. You have the same exact job description, purpose, and intention. The hit that women took after the fall is drastic and dramatic. But if you look before the fall, she was one with God. She was one with her husband, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. She wasn't another lump of clay, and she wasn't less significant. She wasn't. They were both made in his image and his likeness, both male and female. And you can race your mind ahead of me and all of Paul's writings and things, but if you're not wise in your Bible and you don't take the time and really read, Paul's pulling things into order. He's taking some insubordinate situations and trying to bring them into, and he even says several times when he makes those comments that we've turned into law, he says, I, not the Lord, say. Because he's trying to bring discipline. He's trying to pull things into order. He's not demeaning women. But let me show you what happened. She got deceived. And when God comes and talks to Adam, and Adam reveals that he knew he was naked, and God said, how do you know you're naked? Did you eat the tree? He said, it was the woman you gave me, for she gave me to eat. It's pitiful. We'd all done it. I'm not bashing him. But it was self-defending, self-protecting, blame-shifting. He's saying, if you wouldn't have gave me the woman, hey, don't look at me. Come on, it's the first effect of sin in your Bible. It's justifying, blame shifting, and self-defending. The first effect of sin is self-centered. At the expense of whoever, even God and the woman, one with me. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. That's why she was called woman. Yeah? He said, woman, what's this you've done? She pretty much just said, well, the devil made me do it. He looked at the serpent and said, because you've done this, bam. And he looks at the woman and says, because you've done this, bam. And spoke some things that are going to consequences. And then he said, Adam, watch what he said. Because you heeded the voice of your wife. He didn't say the serpent. What happened? See, people miss this stuff. He didn't say, because you disobeyed me. It's in there for a reason, because you heeded the voice of your instead of me. So what's that tell you? That when Eve was deceived, she ate the fruit and became a spokesman for the one that initiated the deception. And she spoke the same language to Adam that he spoke to her. And she became his first little disciple and expression in seed form. Ain't that something? Before the serpent spoke, all she knew was God and what he said. When she bought into what the serpent said, she became a spokesman for the serpent. And she spoke his wisdom to Adam. And Adam followed her instead of God. And everybody fell from God and was born into Adam. And what's God do? Send his son who was slain before the foundation of the world. The tree's still there in our lives. The serpent's still speaking, guys. And Jesus said, follow me. Love not your own life unto death. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Endure hardship as a good soldier. No one enlisted in battle ever again entangles himself in the affairs of this life so he can fulfill the will of him who enlisted him. You got scripture after scripture after scripture that teaches us we've been sanctified and called out of darkness through Christ Jesus. What's the whole plan? Reproduce, reproduce. It's the first law, seed time and harvest time. Reproduce after your own kind. Everything's trying to reproduce and have children. When you're discouraged, you have desires you would never have if you weren't discouraged. So the desires aren't the will of God. The desires are being birthed by the discouragement. When you act on the desire as a fulfillment of discouragement, because that's survival, that's the children of discouragement. Do you know how many people start a ministry because they have unresolved conflicts and they're discouraged and they're mad at pastors, they're mad at Christians, they feel controlled, and they say, we're going to start our own work. But they do it with animosity in their heart. Where's that desire coming from? The anger, the unresolved, the unforgiveness, and the judgment. People, everything in your life's trying to have children and reproduce after its own kind, because it's the first law, seed time and harvest time. Eat seed after its own, and you know them by their... Wow. I guess scripture really does make sense. Ain't that something? So the serpent speaks to Eve, appears to know God, his heart, and his motives. She buys into it and becomes a voice of the very same thing to her husband, and her husband follows her instead of God. So now here we are in that boat. We got the way that seemeth right to a man. We got the wisdom of the world. Yeah? We got the ways of flesh versus the ways of the spirit. We've got truth, we got lies, we got thoughts. Oh my goodness, we're supposed to cast down every thought that rises above the knowledge of God. I'm not sure we do that well. I think we take the thoughts and sometimes think they're our heart, sometimes we think they're truth, sometimes our thoughts is all it takes just to gray out and be discouraged, just our thoughts. Be real with me, come on, I'm coming at you a little bit. And all of a sudden, you sell cheap over thoughts, just thought. You're supposed to take every thought captive. We should be aware. We're in this race, and we're running worthy of a prize. And these thoughts that are coming, they're degenerate. They're not edifying. They're condemning. They're accusing. Man, I got to look up, not look down. I don't need prayer. I need truth. Yeah? Come on, the same thing's trying to happen to people. And I think the Lord tonight wants everybody to realize and see your life is a seed, whether you're sowing it in righteousness or unrighteousness. Your life carries the weight of influence. And it's a gift from God. It's not a curse. It's a gift when it's lived in truth, when it's lived in the light. There was a time I was praying for God to send me to the mission field, and I said, I don't care what country. Give me a country. Give me a nation. I don't care about the food, diseases. It sounded noble. It sounded surrendered. It sounded really spiritual. And when I was all finished, the Lord, because I said, send me where they're hungry. Send me to a people that would want you and receive you. Give me a nation, God. And I'm crying out in my bedroom. After I'm all done, he said, so you'll go and lay down your life for the hungry. I said, yes, Lord, no matter where it is. He said, my son laid down his life for those who despised and rejected him. He said, you get that heart and we'll talk about this. And I didn't know what was going on. I began to cry because I knew God was adjusting something in me. As I'm there kneeling and crying at my bed, it was like he put his arm around me. You know what he said? He said, the only reason you're praying to go to the mission field is because you're discouraged with the people you're pastoring. You're frustrated with them and you think they're selfish. You think they're spoiled and they don't appreciate righteousness. All they want is my blessing. And he didn't say I was wrong. I honestly at that time don't think I was wrong. But he was letting the way I saw them and judged them make something wrong in me. And he was saying the way I was seeing them was birthing the desire to go to the mission field. What was I doing? Running from what I didn't like seeing. That if I didn't see the people that way, I'd have no desire to go to the mission field. And that the whole motivation to go to the mission field was coming from the way that I was judging the people I was pastoring. And that's when he taught me, everything has children. And here's what he showed me. Dan, you could have went to the mission field, and because you honor my word and you preach my word, I honor my word, I would move, people get saved, people get healed, and it would just look like your life looks. But the whole reason you're there isn't me. And then in time, you would look over your shoulder and you'd say, see, God couldn't move that way there because they're just this and this and this and this. And he said, and the more I moved here, the more harder you'd get there. Next thing you know, who knows, that might even bleed into the whole country. Now I'm a third world missionary, and America just placed church. They're on their little riverboat, bunch of religious, stuffy people that ain't laying down their life for nobody. They just want their cake and eat it too. They want their promotion, their job, their vats in Barnesville. Next thing you know, I'm a hard-hearted missionary that thinks I have this whole list of fruit, but I can't see people except through my belief. And the whole reason I was on the mission field is because I was frustrated in the first place. Now, do you know how many people have launched into ministry from that kind of unhealthy foundation? And he said, if the root ain't good, the fruit can't be good. In the end, it'll show up. You got to make a tree good. And its fruit, good. Yeah? Come on, I hope we're making sense tonight. I want you to see your life in a seed form. And you have this great privilege of sowing the kingdom of God into the hearts of men by the way you live your life, your attitude, your responses, the way you cover a multitude of sin with love, the way you show mercy and make peace, the way you just conduct yourself in consistency and people know what you're going through and they know what it's like at work, and yet somehow they don't see you change and that intrigues them. And now they want to know why that is. Now you have a voice because of your conduct. Yeah? Instead of wearing everything on your sleeve and you're going to work and everybody's like, what's wrong? Well, it's just my spouse and my this. Well, you are. Well, I've been praying and praying, but God doesn't seem to be moving and changing them. And we think we're being spiritual because we're mentioning the Lord. I'm sorry. Are you all okay? Okay. No, I promise you one day we're going to stand before him if we don't get this stuff and go, oops. I left everything matter more than what matters most. And I left my life become a product of how I processed and thought instead of a product of truth. What's the truth do? Truth make you free. And he who the Son sets free is what? So once you see this thing,
yay. So if you don't see it, wow, it doesn't even mean you're evil. It means you're deceived. All of a sudden you're being taken advantage of and you're being destroyed for the lack of. So that's why we teach this way. That's why we preach this way. I can't sell cheap. I'm not for sale. I can't say, well, I'm this way because of what I've been through. No, I'm this way because of what he's been through. And that truth empowers me to go through everything I'll ever go through. Does God do those things to us? No, I think a lot of times they're just life unfolding, circumstance, and sometimes strategies of the devil himself. God doesn't tempt any man. He doesn't snap your leg and say, now what? God's not doing that. People believe that stuff. It says, don't say that God tempts any man. He's not tempting any man. And he can't be tempted. Does he work all things together for the good? Absolutely. Does he stop things all the time? Nope. Sometimes he just sits back and lets them unfold and gives you a chance to respond. Actually, that's what he does most of the time. We want him to stop everything. He wants you to manifest him in the midst of everything. The reason we want him to stop everything, because we know if everything isn't stopped, it's going to affect us deeply. What's one of the greatest prayers you hear concerning healing and sickness? People say, hey, I got an appointment coming up. I'm getting all these scans. I got a doctor appointment. Would you pray that I get a good report? Now, I understand the logic there. But the reality is the report determines my response. That's why we're asking for a good report, because the report becomes me. And yet you got Isaiah saying, who shall believe our report? For to whom is the arm of the Lord extended? Did you ever notice that what you're going through tends to become you, your identity? You wear what you're in the middle of? Wonder if Jesus wore what he's in the middle of. If Jesus wore what he's in the middle of, he's a whole different Jesus than we know. He's not even on the cross. He ain't even making it to the cross. He ain't even going to carry the thing. Come on. Because he's pulled out a long time ago because he's right and they're wrong. In fact, he's way right and they're way wrong. That's a whole different scene, guys. If Jesus ain't who Jesus is, he's dropping the cross. Are you kidding me? You're not hitting him and getting away with it. It just fascinates me that God let men hit him wrongfully. He didn't get an attorney. He didn't file for liabilities. No, it's real. He let men hit him in the process of revealing who he is and what we're created to follow. And he was wronged again and again. Well, ain't nobody doing me wrong. You get me, I'll get you. You hit me, I'll hit you back harder. That's how we all grew up. And Jesus is going, hey, that's some other way. I'm the. Don't follow that. Follow me. And like a lamb to the slaughter without a word, we think that's passive, weak, and wimpy. No, that's love, and that's Jesus, and that's the Lord. And he ain't letting what men aren't determine what he is. And he ain't letting what men are determine what he is. He's letting the Father reveal that. And he said, when you see me, you see him. We grew up telling our kids, some of us heard our parents say, well, you just made God mad. You just broke the heart of God. Well, I hope you're happy now. You just really made God mad. Come on. God ain't mad. He's love. It ain't some self-centered thing like we all know. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. Does Jesus look mad? He's so merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We ain't getting what we deserve. We're getting what he paid for.
So you can't tell me God's mad. We ain't getting what we deserve. Come on, that'd be Jesus dropping the cross. I ain't going on no cross. God, if they hit me with one more stick, I'm telling you. I've had enough. Who do they think they are? I've done nothing but good. I've healed their sick. I've fed their bellies. I've cast out devils. I've even raised their dead. Barabbas, they want to release him and kill me. He's killed a man. I've raised the dead. And they want to release him and kill me. These people are nuts. They don't even know what they're doing. I don't even know why we love them, why we care. If they didn't change by now, they ain't going to change. Come on, the books wouldn't even hold if you writ one by one what I've done. I don't need to do another miracle. It hasn't changed them. Come on, if he thinks like we grew up thinking, he's got a real beef. Nope, he's got love. And he's hanging there, and the best he can come up with in love is forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. What's he saying? They're more than they realize. They have a higher potential, and I know them better than what I'm seeing. I know them from the beginning. And if they come unto me, I'm going to give them rest. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw them unto me. See, nobody ever taught me this growing up going to church. They just told me I was messed up, a sinner, and we all messing up and sinners. And for some strange reason, God loves us, wants to forgive us, and wants us in heaven, even though we're always going to live the way we're living. You ain't selling that to me anymore. I believed that lie for long enough. My life's changed. I've got the Spirit of God on the inside of me. And I ain't saying I'm perfect, but I'm saying he purified my heart and the pure in heart to see God. I actually want to be perfect. I really do. I think we'd be amazed how far grace can take us. I think if you make a tree good, the fruit could be good as a man thinketh, so he. See how tricky the devil is? Get us to just keep boasting in our ability to fail, boasting in sin. Boasting in our weakness. You're supposed to reckon yourself dead indeed to sin and alive unto God. Why are we still talking in false humility about our ability to commit sin and think that's cool? It's all through the church. Well, brother, everybody sins. Nobody's perfect. We all sin. We sin every day, brother. What are you trying to accomplish by that language? You're supposed to be a son every day, accepted in the beloved, forgiven, washed white as snow. You're supposed to be acquitted and justified. Every day, you're supposed to wake up in him every day. You're not even supposed to wake up and try not to sin. You're supposed to wake up and just be accepted and beloved and received by God. Read your Bible. As a man thinketh, so he is. If the root's not good, the fruit can't be good. If you make a tree... Come on, this is what Jesus is doing. He's making a bunch of trees good. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Are you with me? Come on, guys. So pull out every excuse, every lie of the flesh, every human reasoning, every way that seems right to a man. See, that's the bummer. It seems right. We run with it. Well, you don't know what I've been going through. Well, you don't know how long it's been. What, am I supposed to just sit back and they're just supposed to disrespect me like that? Well, I've been working there a long time and they don't appreciate me and I've worked hard all these years. And the most you're going to get is somebody that sympathizes with you and hurts with you and understands your pain. And then what? Just supports it all the more that you're hurt all the more. Did you ever notice how hurting people gravitate to the people that understand their pain instead of the people that want to see them free from their pain?
Amen.
Wonder if Jesus just bummed out on the Mount of Olives at daylight and he can't face the people because the people was too much on his plate. They don't appreciate him. I just ain't feeling it today. You know, I heal. It ain't enough. It's what devil is it? I feed their bellies, and all they want is more food. They could care less about the truth, which is what they really need. Boy, these people are self-centered, and they are sure dull, God. I've been crying out, Father, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. It ain't like nobody has ears to hear. I just ain't facing it today. They all come running, Lord, but they don't want to listen. And now he just stays back, sends his disciples out, get some food, bring it back to me. I'm hanging back. I can't deal with folks today. I need a break. Come on. Sounds weird. You put that in Jesus' shoes, that's weird. It ought to be weird in our shoes. Amen. It ain't him. It ain't the Lord. Why? His identity's in the Father. And the Father's in him. Where's our identity supposed to be? In Christ. And Christ is in us. Yeah? So in closing this thing, I just want to re-amplify this. Look at Mark 4 with me real quick. Would you? There's other places. The Gospels are amazing when you talk about seeds. You ought to look up every little phrase and saying that he says about seeds. It says sometimes we'll reap where we haven't even sown, but we'll all rejoice together. Why? Because the one that reaped isn't greater than the one that sowed, because the one that reaped wouldn't even reap if one didn't sow. So who gets the glory? The one that gives the increase. You get it? So amazing. You know what else we do? If somebody reaps, then they become an evangelist. I mean, you know, you reap something. Listen, sometimes a fish would just jump on the line. You didn't even work the thing right. He was just hungry. Like, you didn't even work it right. Sometimes you don't even hardly flip the bail and move it, and he's on it. It ain't because you're a great fisherman. It's because the fish was ready to eat. But you think you're a great fisherman. Till you go on a day when they ain't feeling hungry. But isn't that what we do? But the Bible says it's not that you're a great evangelist. You didn't reap because you're a great evangelist, because you have the gift of evangelism. You reaped because somebody sowed. So if we're not sowing, it's going to affect our reaping. And if all we have in our mind is reaping, meaning sinner's prayer, theological agreement, instead of purpose in Christ and true identity, because you're not praying a prayer to go to heaven, you're dying to you. And that's what people aren't telling people. They're telling them, if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer and get you covered and taken care of. That's not even scripture. Amen. It's no. You die. So Christ can come into you. You die to you. You die to yourself. You die to the past, the old thing, your story, the things that were done to you. You die to everything you've ever been so that who he is can come into you. We are not praying a prayer to go to heaven. We are being made right with God. And the number one thing that has to go is you living for you, because you're made for God's image. That motive of self is why a message like this can't even be well received sometimes, because when it comes through our own ears, that's why Jesus is preaching. Who believes Jesus was the truth? How come men killed him for his words? Jesus is the truth. He's not just preaching truth. He is the truth. That had to have weight. That had to have anointing. That had to have conviction. But yet they killed him for his words. And he's constantly saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he didn't stop talking, but they weren't hearing. That's how far away the fall of man is from what man's created for. That truth could stand in front of them and they can't recognize it. In fact, the total opposite, that he's worthy of death for his words. That's extreme. That's why I'm always passionate and excited about these things. That's why I'm intense. It just comes on me this way. Because he gave his life for this truth. And let's not get lulled to sleep and tricked into church attendance and serving within the ministry. Let's get surrendered to living Christ. To living Christ. To walking in the light as he's in the light. To letting your light so shine before men that they see your life and glorify the Father. Let's be a seed. that falls to the ground and dies springs up and bears much fruit. Let's follow him, not just pray to him. Let's follow him, not just sing to him. Let's follow him, just not need something from him. What do you say we follow him? He said, if you're going to follow me, there's one thing, children, I'm going to need from all of you. I'm going to need you to deny yourself. Don't just make it about you and your feelings. I need you to deny yourself. Pick up your cross. What pick up your cross means is if somebody does you wrong and it ain't right what they did, don't let that make you all not right. Well, they should have never did. Well, how come they did? Well, I wouldn't be crying if they did. No. Like, don't let the wrong done against you produce wrong in you. Overcome the wrong with something right. That's called carry your cross. And if you live that way, guess what Jesus is saying you're doing? You're following him. It's not some spiritual dedication, I'm following him. I'm following him because my life is like him. My motives are like him. My love is like him. You get it? So if anyone's going to come after me, let them first deny. Why? Biggest problem on the planet is you living for you when you're made for his image and glory. A bigger lie on the planet is people becoming a Christian for themselves. They're a Christian for their own gain, their own sake. That's why people get disappointed with God. That's why people get mad at God. You ever see people cut off God, shut down their prayer life, lose a loved one, and never pray again? You see tragedy come and just shut somebody down spiritually? They never came to him for the right reason. They came to him for themselves, and they got disappointed. I've heard people in my lifetime say, well, I can't wait till we get to heaven. I got a thing or two to ask him. I'm thinking, you have no clue what you're even saying. You're not even going to get near the light and glory of who he is, and you're already going to be going, oops. Oops. I've been deceived. I threw away my one God-given gift called life. Hurt, offended, angry, and mad, making it all about me. And now I produced nothing but me. Come on, unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides what? Alone. That's because when you live for you, the only thing you produce is you living for you. So it's always needing, living the expense of, and making your way and getting your way. Ain't that something? If you do that to each other in a relationship, all you're doing is saying, I love you, and it's really, I need you, and you're just living for each other to get what each other needs. What are you reproducing but you? In the end, what are you going to have to show for it but a life lived for yourself? It's called nothing. I read my Bible. It's all in there. I think another reason I'm passionate, because I don't think about this, but it's on my heart to say it. I think it's more subconscious. Nobody ever told me this stuff, Pastor. I went to church for a long time, and nobody ever told me that I could live life by the Spirit. They always set me up to fail. They always told me I had to be a certain way that probably looked like their lives. But nobody really told me I could follow Jesus. But he told me. So I'm boldly telling you with a mic on, we can follow Jesus if we want to. So I guess when it boils right down to it, we're going to find out who wanted to and who didn't. It's like love. Everybody can love if they want to. But the only way you'll ever love is wanting to. So if you don't love, it's because you don't want to. You want to take up for your own rights. You want to hold people accountable. You ought to be glad he's not holding you accountable right now. We want to give up on each other. We want to stereotype each other based on actions. You ought to be glad God doesn't stereotype you. This isn't stereotyping you. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they... So the raw truth is, if people really knew who they were, knew who he was, and saw who you were, they wouldn't be living the way they're living. So instead of being frustrated by that, we ought to have mercy and compassion. Because people are lost, not found. Well, they just always think they're right. Yeah, and you're going to let that make you wrong? You cover a multitude of sin with what? That's what he's calling us to, guys. Please remember, your life's a seed. And if the seed doesn't die and fall to the ground, you abide alone. I turned you to Mark 4. I didn't read those things because it's just time. They're there. You can check them out. It's the kingdom of God, as if a man scatters seed. It says he'll sow a seed and he'll go to bed at night. He'll wake up in the morning and that thing will have become something. And you're like, how do you do that, Lord? Like, you don't make it grow. You just make sure you sow. It says in the next one that there's a man who'll sow a seed. It seems so insignificant and small, even like a mustard seed. But when it's sown, it grows. It doesn't say it might grow. This is very exciting. When it's sown, it grows. And it doesn't just grow, it grows into a big, amazing herb in the field, and things find refuge, shade there. So I guess he's saying nothing's insignificant when it's a righteous seed sown in love. Yeah? So that's a nutshell tonight. God made us for a purpose. God made us for a reason. That reason got lost through sin, through separation from God in the garden. Another voice came on the earth, the way that seems right. In the fullness of time, God sends his son to pay the price to get us out of that mess and lie and make things right. Our goal is to live sanctified, set apart. We're all different, but we're all called to the same. So now we're going to live our life in Christ and live it by the Spirit. We're going to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, come out of darkness into the light. And we're going to walk in the light as he's, not somewhat like, as he's in the light. Not somewhat like he's in the light. We're going to walk in the light as he's in the light. Not somewhat like. Yay. But see, you have to want to do that. You have to believe it's possible, and the just shall live by. You know what we've all lived by before faith? Feelings. Sensuality. Well, I just feel. Well, you know, it just something just feels wrong. People are getting prayer for feelings all the time. You probably, no, I won't say probably, you don't need prayer as much as you think you need truth. Well, I don't feel good about myself. Well, you ought to. Christ died. Well, yeah, but you don't know what they've been saying to me on the job. Why are you letting that matter more than what he said on the cross? See, it's always about faith, and it's always back to truth. And if all you're doing is praying to feel better and not see different and believe better, you'll never be okay. Are you with me? Countless people in my life come up to me. I just need you to pray for me. Why? I don't know. Something just feels blocked. Something just doesn't seem right. Are you just grabbing for something to pray for? Like, do you just think I'm anointed? I'm going to pray for you. So now you get some kind of something out of that. You're in faith. What are you talking about? I just feel blocked. What are you talking about? So see, if you need prayer because you feel blocked, when will you ever be okay in believing? You make yourself such a target for sensuality and the enemy. So you wake up in the morning and you feel a million miles from God. Does the word say he's right there and as close as a mention of his name? Yep. Do you need prayer? Or do you need faith? If you feel blocked, Are you delivered from the power of darkness, translated in the kingdom of the Son of His love? Why would you give power to a feeling when truth is greater? When faith says, wait a minute, I can't be blocked. I have freedom and I'm in you, Lord, and you love me, and I thank you that I'm clean and free. You've forgiven me of everything. You've delivered me from everything. Father, I just thank you. It's for freedom that Christ has made me free. And all of a sudden, you're declaring your freedom in the middle of feeling blocked, whatever that means. But I've heard that prayer a lot in my life. Could you pray for me? I just feel blocked. Do you ever hear that one? I hear that one a lot in my Christian life. And I'm like, we ought to quit obliging that prayer and just say, no, I'm not going to pray for you. Just don't be blocked. Well, I think I need deliverance. No, wrong thinking. You need delivered from wrong thinking. You have been delivered from the power of... Go to Colossians 1 quick. Now I'm opening my Bible. I'm going to be in trouble. It's not quite 5 and 9. We're still okay, maybe. Maybe? Yeah? Okay. I figured you ought to let me preach as long as it took me to drive here. Just be glad it wasn't a 5-hour trip. No, I'm just teasing. I'll be gentle with you. We're coming back in the morning, at least if I didn't run you off. Look at Colossians 1. This is amazing. I want you to see this. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of... Oh, my goodness. Is that in your Bible? Is has a past tense. Now, understand, we come from backgrounds. We believe certain things. We have memories. We have stuff. Some of us, there's been infidelity. We've been touched wrong. There's been bad stuff in our lives. What would happen to a believer if they read that and say, oh, my goodness, thank you, you have delivered me? Wonder if you'd be sitting on your bed and nobody in the room, and you got all these memories, you got this history, you got this stuff that you haven't forgot, but you just lift your hands and say, Father, thank you, you've delivered me from the power of darkness. Darkness has no power in me, no dominion over me. You've translated me into the kingdom of the Son of your love. You have done nothing but love me. You have delivered me. You have rescued me. You've placed my feet on the solid ground of who you are and what you've accomplished. If a Christian would start believing that, they'd experience that. They're waiting to feel that to believe it. Are you with me? And I'm not going to get tricked into that. We have countless hours invested into ministering to each other's feelings, memories, flashbacks, impressions, dreams, instead of just giving them strong truth and saying, wait a minute, why don't you just say that can't be possible? There's no way I have been delivered. Now, if somebody's possessed, that's different. But if you're walking around saying you have a demon, you probably don't. You're just believing a lot of feelings and thoughts. The people that I've seen that are possessed, they have no clue. They are under the control and dominion of stuff. I get emails all the time. They break my heart. I can't find anyone anointed enough to get me free. I'm living with these demons every day, every day, every day. Nope, they're being tormented by wrong believing. And now there's voices there, a dime a dozen. And I'm sure they have a lot of impressions and a lot of things. And then people are trying to address them, and there's manifestations. Now they're going back and forth. And now every day they wake up and their identity is absolutely thrashed and trashed by their experience of feelings and stuff. You know what I do when I get around those people in person? I want to pray for them. I say, I need you to lift your hands for me. I need you to look up right now and say, thank God you have delivered me from the power of darkness. Thank you for the freedom that's inside of me. I get them to actually start believing what Scripture says. I don't cast nothing out. I don't pray for them. If they are possessed, you know the difference. If they've been tricked into living by feelings, you'll know the difference. And I'm telling you, 99% of the time, the people in that arena seeking prayer have been ministered to based on their senses and feelings, and people have obliged it. So now they're only doing as good as they're feeling instead of as good as they're believing.
Amen.
Does that make sense? He has delivered me from the power of darkness, conveyed me into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have what? Redemption. You know what redemption means? Brought back or bought back to original value. I've got that in Christ. My Bible says I've got that. At what point do I believe that in the face of everything that's trying to come against that? Yeah? In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of
Bible just told me that I have forgiveness of sins, so I probably should be forgiven, believe I'm forgiven, and never look back. I should probably never be guilty, condemned, or ashamed another day in my life. I probably ought to reckon myself dead indeed to sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus and just believe Romans 6:11. Yay. What do I have? Forgiveness of. So I probably should just wake up and feel clean. Well, I just feel dirty. What? Do you believe the gospel, the cross? Well, yeah. Why do you feel dirty? Because we're identifying with our memories. We're evaluating our worth through our lives. We're not evaluating our worth through his sacrifice. Yeah? Do you have forgiveness of sins? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So who does Jesus reveal? The Father. So he's the visible image of the invisible God. That's why he said, when you see me, you what? See him. And then Jesus said what? Follow me, and the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So what's the purpose of that? So that we reveal who? The Father. Isn't that amazing? So what's Jesus doing? Reproducing after his own kind in as many as would believe. The only way you'll walk that out is if you love not your own life unto death. Deny yourself. I just promise you, selfishness is the number one thing that stops that whole process. It's you thinking for you instead of for his kingdom. You get overwhelmed, you rationalize it, you find two friends that if they were in your shoes, they'd feel just like you. And then anything that says otherwise is hypo and not keeping it real. And yeah. Did you see you've been delivered? Amen. Did you see you've been forgiven? Do you know why we should have confidence to pray for the sick? Because we've been forgiven. It's true. He connects them all the time. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your disease. He says to the paralytic when they lowered him through the roof, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. That's funny. You know he knows they didn't lower him down for him to say that. They lowered him down so he could get up and walk. And what's Jesus say? Take heart, your sins are forgiven. What do they do immediately when he says it? Just what men do. Rock, 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 rock. As soon as he said it. Yak, 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 yak. And he said immediately, why do you guys bicker and debate and think evil in your minds all the time? Like Jesus called them on their thoughts as soon as they started it. He said, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Yak, 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 yak. He says, guys, why do you always think this way? What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, arise and walk. But to show you, the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, rise and walk. What did he base the healing on? The forgiveness of sins. James 5 says, is any among you sick? Let him ask for prayer. Having the elders pray over them, the prayer of faith, anointing them with oil. And it doesn't say the oil, it says the prayer of, will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if they've committed any sins, they shall be what? That whole context wasn't even talking about forgiveness of sins, but he added it. It doesn't even say they asked to be forgiven, but he says they'll be healed. And if they were healed, that means they were forgiven. You know what else it says in James? Confess your faults one to another and pray for another. Why? That you might be. See, it's everywhere. Oh, it's there. So what's that one say? To be forgiven is to be, what's the other one say? That's 14. What's 15 say? To be healed is to be forgiven. Forgiven, healed. Healed, forgiven. They're married. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And forget not his benefits. Forgives all my, and you get it? The forgiveness of sins should empower us to have faith to believe for healing.
That's why so many people live condemned. Don't feel clean. Remember yesterday, feel tainted by their own memory of their own lives. Because Satan knows if he can keep you there, tomorrow will always be empowered by yesterday. And you'll never actually have new life and a new day through Jesus Christ. Ain't that something? Did you ever meet a Christian that was sincere but felt bad about themselves? Felt bad about their past? I've met a whole bunch. Tell you what we'll do tonight. Is it okay if we pray for the sick since we're talking about it? Probably ought to. Since we're talking about it. You all right if we pray for the sick? Be fun to pray for the sick. It'd be good. What do you think? We should pray for the sick, buddy? You think we should? Oh, that was a good yes. See, I barely got it out. He's like, yep, we should pray for the sick. That's awesome. I wish we'd all pray for the sick and pray for the sick more. I heard a man of God years ago say, he said, listen, people are asking so many questions and they seem like to some hard questions, etc. He said, we probably have not all the answers, but we have Jesus' life. We have Jesus' word. And he said, here's what I think we should do. We should just pray for a whole bunch of sick. And he said, because here's what I've learned. The more people we pray for, the more things we see. But if we just sit back and debate the theology of it and keep talking around the story of the one that didn't get healed that I prayed and prayed and prayed for, we just might be way deceived one day when we stand before the Lord. I prayed for my mother a lot. I did her funeral. I've seen a whole lot of mothers get healed since then. You know why? I didn't write a theology when my mother died. I already had one through Jesus. So it compelled me to get to know him more and grow more and go after him more. Not draw back, press in. And that was my mother. So if I can do that when my mother passes, see, it's all about perspective. Where the other person says, well, I'm just disappointed and I don't want to talk about healing because God obviously doesn't heal everybody because I prayed and prayed and prayed and they died and it broke my heart. And I get mad when I hear people talk about healing because what about my mother? And now they're offended at the gospel. Yeah? Do you remember John got offended, the Baptist? John the Baptist got offended in prison. Do you know he got offended? Or don't you know he got offended? He was in prison, and he sent two disciples to go ask Jesus a question he already knew the answer to. Did you ever have life and circumstances generate questions that clouded your heart in what you already knew? That's what happened to John. Who had a revelation of Jesus better than John? Anybody you know of? Was anybody raised in the wilderness by God other than John? Came out, a voice crying out. When he saw Jesus walking through, he said, it's him, there he is. When Jesus got in the water, he said, it's me baptizing you, you should be baptizing me. He said, behold the Lamb of, did he know? How'd he know? Now he's in prison, he says, hey, go ask him if he's the one or should we look for, there is no other. Why'd he ask the question? Look at Jesus' answer. The two disciples said, hey, John sent us to ask you, are you the one? He said, you go back and tell John what you both see and hear. The lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, and the poor are having the gospel preached to them. And blessed is the man who has no cause to stumble because of me. The word stumble means offense. Blessed is the man who's not offended because of me. What happened to John? If I'm the greatest prophet of them all, if I'm the forerunner, if I'm the one that's to bear witness, what am I doing sitting here in a prison? Why am I in Herod's prison? Why hasn't God protected me? And why has he kept me in here? And why hasn't he gotten me out yet? You need to go ask him, is he the one or should we look for another? Because I announced that he's here to open prison doors. He announced when he opened the scroll, that's why he's here. If he came to open prison doors, why am I behind a locked one? Who did you ever see get offended at God because of their life? It's the biggest trap you'll ever make. Because you're defining God through your life instead of through Jesus's. And he said to John the Baptist, blessed is the man who's not offended because of me. So pray for the sick and pray for them always. We're going to do something tonight and we'll keep it simple. I don't need any music. We don't need any background. I want you to start praying for the sick. Be convicted to pray for the sick in your life. If you're shopping, we see people all the time. If you're walking through a parking lot, look, the worst they could probably do is say no. I don't think they're going to shoot you. I mean, I guess they could, but you're not going to die if you're saved, so that shouldn't be an issue anyway. But I'm just joking about being lighthearted. But I mean, I've had a few people get a little angry over the years, but most people actually say okay. And I actually have a way of doing it now. I mean, I've fine-tuned this thing down to what works for me. It's just faith in my heart. And I see a need, and I say, hey, man, what'd you do? What's going on? Oh, and they tell you the whole story, and you say, listen, I want to ask you something. Please don't say no. They say no. Well, just please don't say no, okay? Well, say no to what? I want to pray for you. No, I said, please don't say no. Just let me pray for you. Come on, you got nothing to lose. If nothing changes, you'll just have what you had before we started talking. But if it changes,
oops, that'll be pretty cool. And then they usually go, okay.
If they fight me a little on it, like, well, no, I'll say, listen, do you think I come over to ask you this, knowing already that nothing is going to happen, that it's impossible that it'll change, and that nothing's going to happen, and I already came over here to ask you this because I know nothing's going to happen? Come on, I don't believe that, or I wouldn't ask you. Usually you can compel them in the love. They might even just go, whatever. But that's all you want. Whatever. Because if you lay your hands on the sick believing, what? I don't have to get them to agree. In faith, I just have to let them say, okay. Because I'm not just tackling people. I've prayed without asking. I have a buddy that prays all the time without asking. He's like, oh my gosh, you did that? Well, let me see your hand for a minute. They're like, my hand? They usually go like this. And as soon as they go like this, my hand, what do you want? He'll just grab it and start praying. And I've seen countless people healed when it happens. Sometimes they have just enough theology to argue with you. So if you just get their hand, you're in, you can get her done. And then God can supersede their theology and they won't argue. That's your highest hope, right? But here's what this pastor said. He said, the more people we pray for, the more people think we'll see healed. So when you're out there, pray for the sick. We're going to do a little thing here that I trust will empower you and convict you to pray more when you're out there. Amen? Because this is a safe haven. Who knows this is a safe haven? Who knows that people are still uncomfortable getting involved in a safe haven? So if we don't exercise that, how will you ever have the confidence to just approach somebody in a parking lot? It's usually fear, self-awareness. And the number one thing I found that stops Christians from praying for the sick, they're afraid. Deep down in their heart, they're afraid nothing will happen. They're afraid nothing will happen, and they don't want to be in that situation. So who are they protecting? And if you never step out because you're afraid nothing will happen, what do you always have?
Nothing. Well, that's a bummer.
When you pray for the sick, you'll see a lot of sicknesses, but you'll see two things. You'll see people that they'll know if they're healed because they have symptoms. They have immobility, they have pain, they have blindness, they can't hear. They have symptoms. There's other people that if they're healed, it's internal. You're in a grocery line and a lady's there and she said, you know, I just had my annual checkup and they're saying I have something weird growing on my ovary. They're not sure. They said it don't look good, but I mean, I don't even know it's there. But I'm going back for more tests. And they're just talking to the lady in front of them that they know. Who knows you hear stuff like that when you're out? Look, all you do is just tap her. Excuse me. You ladies can get away with this so easy. You just tap her. Excuse me. I couldn't help it over here. I wasn't really eavesdropping. I was just standing right here and I heard what you said about the thing on your ovary. Oh, yeah. Oh, it has me so worried. Listen.
Let's do something. Nobody will even know. I won't make a scene. What? I just want to pray for me. Oh, well. No, no, no. Don't make light of it. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about God touching you. I'm talking about that thing disappearing off of your ovary. That's just how straight I go with it. What do you say? You got nothing to lose. Take 5 seconds and just start praying. Father, I just thank you right now. Wonder if God's presence begins to touch her. Wonder if she goes back to the place and there's no tumor on the ovary.
You say, wonder if it's still there.
Then you love somebody, exercise faith, and you're believing for somebody. And you're teaching yourself that you can. Yeah? If I lay hands on the sick, they shall what? So we teach people to never let go. Even if they say that thing's still there, and you bump into her again, or you get her number, exchange numbers. Hey, how'd your appointment go? Well, they're saying it's still there. They wanted this and this. Just know I'm continuing to believe for you. And just know Jesus loves you so much. And you continue to believe. If that thing changes, she's going to know why. She ain't going to think it just disappeared. Yeah? She has a conviction now. But if we're not stepping out and doing this stuff, how are they ever going to know? See, this is called a seed. I've seen people healed. It doesn't mean that they're on fire for God and they're laying down their life and surrendering. I've seen people healed and they're not even sure where they stand with the whole cross and the gospel, but they can't deny that something happened that they believe is God. Are you with me? So we got to get involved. We got to sow seed at some level. So when you pray for the sick, if they don't know what happened, like if they were healed because it was internal or it needs x-ray or a time, don't make that an easier one. Don't seek those out. Because it's the same faith, because they're going to find out. They're going to get a test. Time's going to elapse, right? So it's the same exact faith. So you pray for them. If they say, man, I'm so glad I don't have a migraine today. Feels like I was going to have it this morning. It's due any day now. I've been getting them for weeks, and they usually come in 4 and 5 days. You hear that stuff when you're out there. Pray for them. Amen? If that migraine doesn't come back, what are they thinking? Now 2 weeks goes by. Yeah? And Holy Spirit's working. Somebody sowed, somebody watered. God's given increase. Well, we're never releasing God to give increase if we're not sowing and watering. Whatever city you're in, it's Luke 10, whatever city you're in, heal the sick there and tell them the kingdom of God is here. It's Luke 10. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to pray for the sick. We won't be crazy late and long. I know I'm already probably a little late for some, but just hang in there if you can. And let's just stay stirred up in love and good works, and let's do this. Let me do this real quick. If you're sick in this room tonight in some way where you have a diagnosis, an internal situation, bloodstream, something that has no symptom, that if you were healed, you wouldn't necessarily know at all right now. You'd need a test or time to tell, or you'd need to actually check something out some way, shape, or form, but you have no external symptom. Am I making sense? So you have a condition, you might even be medicated for it, but it's not anything that you're physically aware of, but you know it's there because you had some tests and some things done and et cetera, et cetera. Who would fit that description tonight in this room? Just respond quick. Don't like hold out on me. Don't not respond. Stand to your feet if that's you, please. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray for you. Stand to your feet, please. Don't hold out on me. Let's not come this far. Don't you come here on a Friday night and then we're going to pray for you and then just say, I ain't going to stand up. You got nothing to lose except you just stay sitting. Let's just believe. I do this all the time. I travel, I teach, I equip, I train, and God just, he just does beautiful things and I'm excited. So I really want you to come on, am I waiting for anybody? For some reason, I don't feel like I should be praying yet. Yeah, please. If I'm waiting for anybody, stand your feet. Thank you. That's good. Thank you. Come on. You see how many people I'm getting the more I wait? Come on. Just jump to your feet. And then the next round, what's going to be the next round? The next round are people that what? Would know if they're healed. When we get to you, just jump up to your feet. Do you see how many people I got just by waiting? Why am I waiting? Because I want everybody involved. Why? Because it's real. I watch God do this all the time. Why would I have an impression to wait?
Because he wants everybody up that should stand up. We already have enough people to pray for, but we were still waiting for more. True? It's because this is real. You watch and see. Anybody else? I still feel like I got like two more people. You just need to hop up quick. You got a condition that if you were healed, you wouldn't necessarily know it at all now. But time would tell.
He's going to get his water.
Oh, yeah? Good. Good, good, good. And you stood up. Thank you, dear. That makes me happy. We're gonna let his wife get in here quick. So now that you stood up, let me just tell you this. Here's what I want you to do tonight when we pray. We're going to be short, sweet, and simple. It's going to seem too simple, but it's not. He paid a price for this to be possible. Don't ever forget that. Jesus paid the price of his life for me to believe. Don't think it's too simple. Now, here's the other thing I want to teach you while we're waiting on him to get his wife. We've made it so complicated, sometimes we think it's us. Who's ever prayed for the sick in the room? Anybody ever pray for the sick? You'll laugh when I say this because you'll know we've all done this. When we pray for the sick, what happens is we get very self-conscious and focused on our prayer, and we try to pray right, powerful, and anointed, and all our attention goes on what we say instead of what we're believing. And we're trying to pray right. And watch, be whole in Jesus' name. It's probably plenty.
Amen.
Yeah? But we pray, sometimes we even change our voice, we get spiritual, we quote a scripture, we're trying to pray powerful. I think we should believe powerful. So the finished work of Jesus is enough, and it's our faith in his work that we're believing. So tonight, if you're standing and we pray for you in a second, here's all I want you to believe. I just want you to believe this one thing. He has to love me, or he'd have never sent his son. How awesome is that right there? Because sometimes we're going through something for a while. We've been prayed for 20 times. We haven't seen it change. We've been reading a healing book, et cetera, et cetera. Next thing you know, our mind goes on tilt and we go, I don't know what's going on. I thought he loved me. I thought he loved me, right? And we start questioning God's love through circumstances. Who hears people do that? You're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. Faith works through love. Faith doesn't work because you have a need. Faith works because you have a covenant. And if you question love and you question the covenant, now you're just driven by need. Does that make sense? So tonight, here's how simple we're going to keep it. He has to love me, or he'd have never sent his son. Fair enough? Okay. So I want some folks, if you're sitting around these people that are standing, just a couple of folks, get to them and just put a hand on a shoulder, tap them, say, hey, I'm going to stand with you. Don't smother them. Be respectful. Just tap somebody, touch somebody, hey, I'm going to stand with you. Please, I want somebody, at least one person with every person that's standing. Don't pray yet. We'll do it together. Now, you watch this. You take my word on this. I'm just here. Pastor, you can follow up with this if you know a lot of these people. After tonight, when the time comes and you realize, wow, this changed. I'm not saying this to cover me. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with encouraging each other. So when you realize this situation's changed, wow, it is no more, wow, it never returned, let somebody know. Let somebody that you know. Let pastor and his wife know, right? Just to show that, hey, we can start living this simple and be this simple, because here's what we're going to do. We're not even asking them what's wrong right now. We're not going to pray no long prayer. I'm going to get you all to believe with me one simple thing, okay? So we believe he loves us, or he'd never send his son. True? So does he love the person we're about to pray for? And faith works through, is he for the person you're about to pray for? Did Jesus die on the cross for that person? Does Jesus believe they have value? Here's all I want you to say in sincerity over them right now. Say this in your heart. Say this out of your mouth, but with your heart. Be made whole.
Be made whole.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
No more sickness. No more symptoms. In the name of Jesus. Complete wholeness, Father, because you love them. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, grab your seats. I know that sounds so simple, but that's not simple. He paid an amazing price to make this possible. Okay, now when you bump into somebody in public and they're talking like that, or you're at work at lunch and somebody's talking like that, man, I would hear guys at work all the time when I got saved. And then they started looking around to see if I was there because I would always ask to pray for them. They'd be like, oh, no. But I'd be at lunch and I'd hear somebody say something. I'd say, listen, man, can I just pray for you? I'd say it right in front of everybody in my lunchroom. And I'd say, come on, you're just talking about it. Let's just pray. You got nothing to lose. I watched God. I saw the Lord in my life at work, in secular work field. I saw God heal so many people just because I asked. Are you hearing me? If you have sickness in your body tonight, and if you were healed, you would absolutely know it. I don't want exaggeration tonight. I want you healed. I don't want you saying the right thing or giving the answer we're looking for. I want you honest tonight. And I'll explain that in a minute, but I need you to stand up. Let's not wait around. Just stand up. If you got sickness in your body, you got something less than wholeness, I need you to stand to your feet. That if you could check your body without exaggeration, we don't got the music jamming, we're not playing your favorite heart move song. We're just going to believe God. In fact, I'm going to have the room probably pretty dry by the time we pray, okay, on purpose. Because it's not all fired up in a parking lot when you're nervous. Amen. And they're rolling their eyes at the suggestion. That's probably not all spiritual. Stand to your feet, please. If you have any kind of symptoms in your body of sickness, anything less than wholeness, please don't believe if you stand, you're violating faith or you're claiming sickness. You're not claiming sickness. How could James say, is any among you sick? Let him ask for prayer if you were claiming sickness. I don't know why we took that teaching so to heart. You're not claiming sickness. You're saying there's something in my life and body less than wholeness, and I believe he paid a price to heal me. Amen? I'm waiting for a handful. Just jump to your feet real quick, please. Real quick. Okay? There's arthritis is in my heart. I'm hearing arthritis. How many people are still sitting and you have absolute arthritic symptoms that if you checked, you'd feel it? You could tell. I need you on your feet right now. Come on. Come on. I know when I hear this stuff, I need you up. Good. Get up. Jump up. See, that was like five folks right there just popped right up. I wish you'd already be up. If you have any kind of symptoms or less than wholeness in your body, please get up. Please get up. Thank you. There's somebody still sitting in their chair. I don't know who you are. It's your left ankle. There's something wrong with your left ankle. It's bothering you. It hurts. It hurts on stairs. It hurts when you're moving, pivoting. It's just not okay. It's your left ankle. I know when I hear this stuff. Did I get you? Did you stand up? Who is it? Is that you? It's your left ankle? What, just not right. It just feels weak. It hurts a little bit when you pivot, when you move back and forth. It's just your left ankle. Okay, good. I went fishing. I'm a good fisherman. No, it was specific, but I heard it. I kept hearing it. Left ankle, left ankle. When I said left ankle, then I heard kind of how to describe it, but it fits you, so you stood up. It compelled you to stand. You know why? Because he wants to fix it. Look at all the people we have to pray for, and he's got me fishing for one gentleman. You think God doesn't love people? We got tons of people to pray for. He's got me fishing for one person. You stood up. What'd you stand up for? It wasn't the same description? Same thing. So you have the left thing too going on in your ankle. Wow. So he loves you guys. And he was like, hey guys, get up.
So guess what's going to happen? I just believe those ankles are going to be so okay. I'm excited.
Thank you, Lord. I'm hearing one more. I don't know if I'll hear any more. Please don't wait for your thing to be called. You should already be standing, but God is compassionate and merciful. It's your neck, like whatever these middle vertebrae are in the middle of your neck. It's been bad. I don't know if it was a car wreck or some kind of a jerk thing. But it's been for years, maybe 5 years. It's your neck. Your vertebrae in your neck aren't okay. And you can find it. It grabs you. If you turn certain ways, it can grab you. I need you to stand to your feet real quick. I know when I hear this stuff, I just saw vertebrae in the middle of the neck. And it has to do with, I think, some kind of an injury you sustained, but it's been for a few years. Did I get that person to respond? That's you? Okay. Were you already standing? Oh, okay. Is there someone still sitting? I feel like you were still sitting, and it's your neck. Is that you, ma'am? Exactly? Did I describe it exactly? When did you hurt it? Okay, it's been years. Okay, middle of the neck, though. Was it injury, accident type thing?
whiplash, it's just, but it's there. I'm so glad you stood. Thanks for standing, kiddo. See, when she said, yes, that's me, who knows that that's her situation, but the thing I'm hearing in my heart, that the person was still sitting. So when I amplified that and said that, I come over on this side and I saw you stand up. It just so blessed my heart. So we got her to stand. Why does God do that? Because he wants to heal. And he wants us to have faith and believe. And you might say, well, I've been believing. No, just keep believing. Just keep trusting. Keep believing. Don't ever give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Believe in his well-doing. Amen? Okay. The people standing, raise one hand real high so we can see you. In a minute, we're going to lose you if you don't raise your hand. Now listen, the people sitting, and if you're uncomfortable and nervous, I really want you to get involved. I want you on my team. I want one-on-one till we have the whole room covered. Don't anybody pray yet. Just go claim somebody. We're going to make this so simple, you can't go wrong unless you don't get involved. We're going to only pray for about 5-6 seconds. Do you need prayer up there? Okay. Can somebody, how do you get up there? Can you come down? Huh? But does somebody know how to get up there? Is there a stairway? Will somebody go stand with him and pray with him? But I need somebody to get to everybody that has a hand raised. Just one-on-one till we have the room covered. If you're uncomfortable, challenge yourself. Look, if you won't step out in this environment, you probably won't step out in the parking lot. And this will just empower you to realize, hey, this is simple. We can do this as a people, right? Okay, now listen, if somebody claimed you and they're standing with you, put your hand down. Everybody put your hand down if you have somebody with you. I only want your hand up if you're still waiting for someone. Wow, brother, you already ran up there and got him. Okay, there's a lady back there waving. Okay, you got her? Is she getting you? No, what? Oh, okay, I thought she was going like this. Okay, are we all ready? Okay. Take 3 seconds, just 3 seconds. Tell the person that's going to pray with you why you stood up. Give them a 3-second version of the condition. Just say arthritis pain, my neck, my hips going bad, my shoulders tore, my knees are degenerate. Just give them a real short version. All right? Y'all got it? Everybody got it? You guys are quick. You're good. This is awesome. Usually when you let people talk, like, it just rumbles, you can't get them back. You're like, hey, you guys did it really good. Here's why I did that. Matthew 17, he's talking about epilepsy. The boy got healed. Remember the story, the epileptic boy? Daddy bowed down, worshiped Jesus, said, would you help heal my son? He's often falls in the fire. I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him or heal him. And it's a beautiful story. If you read it, there's a lot to learn. His disciples came to him after it was all over and said, why couldn't we heal the boy? He said, because you have no faith, your little faith, your unbelief is what he said. But it has to do with the way their minds were working. If I could take time, I could teach it out. But here's what he said. They said, why couldn't we heal the boy? He said, because of your unbelief or because of your little faith. He didn't say like some say in the charismatic church or the, well, you just didn't have no faith. Did you ever see people do that? Well, you just need to get faith, right? And it's the wrong thing to tell somebody. But who's seen people do that? That's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was like, well, you just ain't got no faith. No, he was saying it's, the problem's right here. And it creates unbelief. And he said, but truly, I tell you this. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to what? He's talking about healing. He's making the mountain what you need to be healed of. He's not talking about finances or anything. The whole context is within epilepsy, the boy, why couldn't we heal him? If you boil it all down and really look at it, and I took time to teach it, he's actually saying, because you fail to see what I see, but if you see what I see, you'll do what I do. That's really what he's saying. But here, watch. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will what? Watch. And nothing will be impossible for, he didn't say God, isn't that amazing? For you, meaning God's in us, and if we believe that, he moves. But he makes us one. He says, you heal the sick and you can heal the sick.
But he says heal the sick. But you can't heal the sick. But he says heal the sick. He expects us to understand he's in us. And when we lay our hands on the sick, guess who lays their hands on the sick? Isn't that powerful? We're one, guys. So watch this. If you say to the mountain, move, it'll what? So if you have faith as a... Okay, so this isn't some long, drawn-out prayer. We're not waving flags that have colors that represent healing or whatever people come up with. We're simply speaking to a mountain. Watch. So if they told you their knees are degenerate, watch. Knees, you'd be completely restored, no more pain in Jesus' name. If their shoulder was torn, they have a torn rogue. If they have a herniated disc, you'd be completely made whole, no more pain. Total mobility in Jesus' name. Who knows you can speak to the mountain a mustard seed? You're not praying. Sometimes we get in trouble. We get into works. If you're trying to pray, if you think your prayer is healing people, that's works. That's a good way to shut everything down. It's your prayer. He told me to tell everybody this when I do this everywhere I go. Watch. Your prayer never has, never will heal anybody. It's your faith in his finished work and his love for the person. It's not your prayer. If it's your prayer, we should all go to prayer college. Look how Jesus rolls. What is it that you want? That I might see, receive your sight, stretch forth your hand, take your bed and walk. Do you hear what Jesus is doing? What's he doing? Saying to the mountain, and he's giving them a command, and they're doing it. It's a short little, it's never even 5 seconds. I usually give 5 seconds to pray, and that's probably too long. But I only give five. You know why I give about 5 or 6? Because you won't get in trouble, and you can't get into works, and you can't even get self-conscious in 5 seconds. Because you have the knowledge of the mountain. You know what the thing is, whatever they told you. I heard the word elbow. I don't know who was talking. Was that you? I heard elbow right in here. So watch. So they already know. So elbows be completely whole. Pain, you leave in Jesus' name. Who knows that we can be sincere? We can know God loves him and be sincere and speak that and believe God can do something through the finished work of Christ. Come on, guys. We can believe that. It's not about us. We don't have to be under pressure and freaking out and wonder if they don't get healed and Come on, I hope this is helping you. We can all live this way. And we can all simply believe based on the finished work of Christ. Are you all ready? So I'm going to give you 5 seconds about to pray, and I'm going to say, okay, wrap it up. I'm doing that for you because I'm your friend. So you won't get into long and ha, and yeah, ooh, ha, ooh, ha. Yeah, isn't that what we do? We call that prayer warriors. I'd rather be a believer. So watch this. After we pray, I'm going to say, okay, that's good, guys. Wrap it up, and you're going to bring it to a close. And after we pray, I want you to sincerely take the time, and I'll be coaching and let you all know what we're doing. Take the time to check your bodies. I don't want you rash and presumptuous. I don't want you trying to make the person that prayed for you feel good. That's called lying. I don't want you to look at their sincere eyes and say, I can't tell them I still hurt. I'm fine. No, I feel good. No, stop. Watch. Let's stop being so afraid of results or lack of results. Let's be more concerned about not believing. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now watch. When I pray for the sick, I see 3 things in my life. I'd like to see one, but I see 3. Because I'm growing, and so are you. I see people healed instantly in my life. I see people somewhat change. And then I see that one that we tend to be afraid of where nothing changes. I'm not afraid of that like I used to be because God taught me to never change my mind and keep believing. So tonight, if your body doesn't change, don't you disconnect. And don't you say, see, I knew I shouldn't have stood up. Now I'm in this situation. Other people are going to be healed. And I'm going to be the one that's not healed. And here we go again. And I wonder why I'm never healed. And you know what? Something has to be blocking my healing because this is just too much. Watch, watch. I did this in a church 2 weeks ago. They loved it. I thought it was good. Did you see what I just did? I cut it off and pushed it off. Why? Because you're not the head. He is. You just be the body. He's the head. So watch, tonight, we're just not going to let go. We're not going to draw conclusions, and we're not going to find an identity based on our outcome. We're finding our identity based on Him. And He loves me, and the reason I know He loves me, He sent His Son. So watch this. So we're going to pray for the sick. We're going to find who's healed. When you know you're healed, let me know. We're going to find out what God did. We're going to take a couple testimonies. If you're somewhat healed, or you're 50% better, or significantly better, but not 100%, don't go like this. Just tell your person, I'm like 70% better. And then what I want you to do is pray the same thing you prayed the first time. Don't change your prayer. We get into works. We try harder. We come from another angle. We quote an extra scripture. Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. We do this stuff, and we don't even realize we're trying too hard because we really want them healed, and we are sincere. But it ain't no amount of that that brings healing in the room. It's who He is and His finished work. So don't grab for straws. Don't go fishing for another prayer. If your person says, I'm 50% better, say, wow, Father, that's awesome. Thank you for 50% increase. But I know, Jesus, you're a finished work. So knees, you be completely restored with no pain. Jesus' name. And then you get them to check again. Okay? So we're going to take a couple testimonies. If your body didn't change at all, you can tell your person if they want to pray another 5 seconds in sincere faith, pray the same prayer. That's awesome. When we start taking some testimonies, watch. I wouldn't want nobody praying. I want you listening, hearing, and going, wow, that's awesome. God, I can see, you can tell. When people get healed, it's so fun. You can see it in their face. Sometimes they cry. It's just, I was in a church a while back. This lady hadn't gone upstairs. There were stairs just like this up front. It was just like this. It was just like this. That's crazy. I rarely see this kind of setup. No. This just happened. And this, because that's the baptismal up there. So this lady, it was just like this. No, this was 2 months ago, month and a half. She ran, did we have somebody here do this? They were running up and down the stairs? Oh, it's so good. And we did something like this? See, I told you we've done this before. But this lady, it was 20-some years she had, and her husband hadn't even seen her go up the steps. And she's running up them steps. She came back down. She ran up them steps. He's crying. He was crying harder than anybody because he hadn't seen his wife do that for so long. And then she asked if she could do it again. I said, go ahead. I said, for the rest of your life. And he's over there going, I said, you're obviously the husband. Yes. I said, when? He said, 20-some years at least. And that's something. We're going to pray. We're going to take a couple testimonies. Listen to the testimony. Thank God He's a healer. Thank God He loves us, and thank God He loves you. And then check your body again. Yeah? And then we'll take another testimony. And just keep checking your body. And I say this everywhere I go, like popcorn in a bag. We'll see healing just keep coming. Because we're not going to change our mind. Does that make sense? Who's ever watched popcorn? It's fun when you're hungry for popcorn. And then it's overwhelming, isn't it? I've been in services where we're taking a testimony and there's only a couple hands or one or two hands. And other people are like, I'm saying, it's okay, let's listen to this testimony. And next thing you know, I said, anybody else? Now there's four hands. I'm like, whoa. I'm going to take a testimony. Now there's seven hands. I'm like, where are all these hands coming from? Are you all just getting here? Yeah, we're just listening. My body just changed. Ah! Next thing you know, it's like popcorn in a bag. So then I'm asking, who's my next colonel? That's what I asked for. I asked, who's my next colonel? And somebody's like, I'm over here. You all ready? You believe Jesus loves you? Do you know how you can be sure? Jesus died on a cross. The person praying for you, they believe He loves you. Y'all believe that? You ready to pray? Do you know what you remember what you're praying for? I didn't talk too long that you forgot, right? Give them the kingdom. Faith is a mustard seed. Speak to the mountain. I'll give you about 5 seconds. I'm not going to pray. It's going to be hard. I'll stay quiet for 5 seconds. It's hard. You pray. We'll find out what God did in the room in 5, 10, 15 seconds. Okay? Give them the kingdom. Pray.
Thank you, Lord. That's good. Yeah, keep praying. Okay, you can start to wind that down. We should have spoke to the mountain by now. It's so good, God. Thank you. Thank you. Remember what you're believing? He has to love me or he'd have never sent his son. Amen? Wow. Good. See, it sounds too simple. It's not simple. Jesus paid an incredible price to make this possible. Okay, the people that were prayed for, I need you to sincerely start checking your bodies, please. Take your time and be sure. When you go like this, it's because you know. Thank you, Lord. Check your bodies. We're going to do a couple little rounds of prayer. Check your bodies. When you know you're healed, I need to know who you were. Let me know. Is she healed? Good. Anybody else know? It's good when they burst out crying. You figure, oh, she probably knows. Anybody else? Checking your bodies all over. Please, please work with me. Don't just check it once or twice. Thank God he loves you and check it. I've seen people get healed while they're checking. Check your bodies. Anybody else in the room? Anything else happen? Anything else change? Let me ask you this. Does anybody feel somewhat healed? You didn't raise your hand because you're not 100%, but you're somewhat changed. You're better. Okay, that's a little bit of movement. We're going to work with this, okay? Don't be discouraged. This isn't like, I wonder why God's not moving. He's always moving when we're believing. What happened to you, kiddo?
My knees have been hurt since last summer. The doctor told me I had deterioration in my cartilage.
Since last summer, the doctor said deterioration and your cartilage is diminishing, and that's why you have that. When you don't have cartilage, you have that violation and friction.
Yeah.
Right?
Squatting,
sitting, was easy to tell there was a problem. It was easy to find a problem before.
I was in pain the whole time.
The whole time I was preaching my great sermon.
Like just sitting, like things are hurting, I gotta make it like throbbing.
So that was going on the whole night?
For like a week.
You were just squatting down pretty freely. Look at her, guys. Look at that. Thank you, Lord. Look at her. She just keeps doing it. Guys, that's not somebody that has cartilage diminishing and friction.
Amen.
It's so good. Thank God he's a healer. And check your bodies right now. Come on. Stay with me in this. Don't give up on this. Stay with me. Check your bodies one more time. Anybody get healed? Anybody else healed? Are you feeling change? What, strength, balance? Did you have pain? Are you feeling less pain? Who prayed for you? Where? Who? Oh, touch her one more time. Somebody take a lead. 5 seconds, just pray over her complete wholeness, complete restoration. Who else? Anybody else changing? Checking your bodies. Anybody else healed? Check your bodies for me. Anybody else? Anybody? The somewhat healed people, who are you? There was a handful. It wasn't a lot. Somewhat changed, for sure. Just pray 5 more seconds for him. Same prayer. Just pray for her right now. Somewhat? What, 50? Just 50%? Yeah? Pray for him. Do you guys understand that I'm not doing this to find results? I'm doing this to teach faith, so that we can learn to believe God and what it actually really means to believe God. See, people that are looking for results, they'd be under pressure, they're nervous, there's not many people raising their hand, there's only a couple people, someone here, what are we doing wrong, God? And we get this weird thing that shuts everything down. Can you tell that I'm not even near that ballpark? I'm so excited for her. Look, if she's the only one that experienced change, I'm glad we all stood up and prayed, but it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. You know that that's a big deal for you, right? Yeah. Okay, thank you, Father. The people that were just prayed for that had somewhat change, anybody get better or go all the way better? Check your bodies for me. What's going on? Were you prayed for? What happened? What were you prayed for?
I almost broke it.
But it's bothered you at times, like your elbow? Is that what you were talking about, elbow? Was it him or you? That was you. So you've had a hurt elbow?
Yeah.
Like you could, if you do it certain ways, you could tell that it was hurt? Okay. But what makes you feel like it's just all better? It just feels good. Good. No, I think that's amazing. You ask him to pray? He's my little buddy too. You were like, I said, should we pray for the sick? You were like, yeah, pray for sick. Go for it. Anybody else changing in the room? Check your bodies. Even better? She went from 50 to what, 75 or something? Yeah? I'm not guessing. I listen for those numbers. I asked Jesus. I'm serious. I ain't guessing. Come out here and check it for me. I actually feel like you're being healed. As you check your body, don't do anything crazy. Just check it and see what grace is saying. Yeah? Now talk to me. What were we praying for? What were we believing? You had a spinal fracture in your life?
Well, yeah. I picked up a 300-pound cop on top of that. I asked God to give me strength. He did. I was sore the next day, but I've been sore here.
So to bend down and just touch the floor was something you wasn't crazy about. You putting your fists. I see you. He's putting his fists on the floor. Yeah?
I feel like it's better.
So if before they prayed... Since you're doing that, why are you doing that? Before they prayed, would that have been very hard to do? That's like, I'm going to try that. I'm motivated. Yeah. That's awesome. You got really stretched to do that. How do you check your ankles?
They just don't hurt anymore. This one is swollen up consistently and tore everything in it. And this one, I just...
How about the arthritis and the wrist thing? How would you check that?
Well, I sliced it.
Okay.
And this is how you check. And I don't feel no pain. See, in here I have damage from this.
Oh.
I got fighting. I got cut open.
Okay.
And now it doesn't hurt if I hold my finger.
Okay.
Normally it hurts.
That other finger's stuck like that, though? That other finger's always like that because of the damage? Yeah. Okay. How much better do you feel standing here right now? Better than 75? You feel like...
100% in my back.
Are you 100% when you stood out here and touching the ground like that?
I mean, I couldn't even bend all the way over. It was hurting.
So you know that.
Yeah. And
did you pray for him?
Yes, I did.
Would you pray for his hand to be restored to where he can actually bend his finger and that those nerves would be restored? Yeah, Jesus can do that in a heartbeat. Anybody else, while we're talking, do I have any popcorn in a bag? Is anyone say, I've been a kernel of popcorn in the last 5 minutes? Better? Good. Did it just start getting better? Or did you get better early on? First time? Now it's better yet? Okay, it's fun that she says better and it was better the first time. When I'm in public, if somebody tells me they're better, they never don't let you pray again. If they say they're better and you say, can we pray again? They're like, sure, because they know they're better. And then if you pray for them again and they say, hey, it's even better. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but better plus better plus better sooner or later is going to equal what? And when they know they're getting better, guess what they'll let you do? They'll let you speak for five more seconds. And I've been on the streets. I've prayed for people 13, 15 times because they said, okay, I'm not asking God to heal. I'm saying, be made whole. Be made whole. Arthritis, you leave. Knee, you be whole. You see what I'm saying? And boom, and all of a sudden it just changes. You say, well, I don't know. Sometimes things are just, I don't know. If you were trying to break a real hard rock that was sticking up out of your yard because it was higher than your grass line, so burying it wasn't the answer, you have so you rented a sledgehammer and you're whacking it. Sometimes you got to hit that thing a little bit for that thing to break. And I know you guys, if you got that sledgehammer and rented it and you hit it and it just sat there and looked at you, you're hitting again and again. Then your wife's saying, honey, are you coming in for supper? In a minute. You're hitting it. So why do we give up on faith? Did something change in your body? Just now. See? You see, we're waiting, see? Did it just change? 2 minutes ago, and it hadn't changed at all? Or somewhat, just a little bit. Is it completely better? A lot better, though, enough that you acknowledged it. What we pray for? What were we believing for? What was it? Oh, so you can just tell there's freedom. Yeah, good. No, that excites me. Touch her again on the forehead. Father, we just thank you for complete wholeness and freedom. Just clarity. Lord God, I thank you it's that way all night long. Not even any fear in the night, no dread in the night. I thank you in the morning, just a sense of peace that is probably indescribable. A peace and a presence of God in her life, Lord. Yeah. And I thank you the morning is very pleasant in you. And I thank you, Lord God, for change in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Anybody else? Anything changing? I'm just being patient. And I know it's late. Forgive me. What's that?
I shattered my elbow like 12 years ago.
You shattered it?
Yeah. I couldn't straighten my arm. Look at that.
So you know you couldn't do that with your arm?
I mean, it's...
You're dramatic, buddy. You're laying out here on the altar with your sleeve. I love this. No, you're like working this thing.
I couldn't get down to anything like that. I'm all the way home. I mean, it's a little bit there, yeah, but it's like definitely...
What would it have been? Bowed up or... You just couldn't have got it flat.
I lost 26 degrees of motion.
Oh. Yeah. Pain or anything like that or nothing?
It was just I couldn't straighten it.
Okay, gotcha. So when you'd go to straighten it, there was a stopping point.
Yeah.
And now you're laying out there laying it flat straight. Is that why you did that? You laid out and laid it like that? So the last time you laid it out straight like that is what? Before it actually happened. So you haven't seen your arm look like that since before it happened. How many years ago?
I was 25. I'm 40. So.
15 years. Wow. I don't know about you guys. I just don't think, I mean, I didn't give him $50 to say that. I didn't meet him before the service, say, hey, can you help me out? That's what unbelief says.
Yeah.
Strange, man.
Something else. Ever since I stood up the first time, there's like fire on my head.
Yeah? I read that in the book of Acts. This is good. This is good. This is scriptural. Fire on your head. Are these all your children?
Couple of them.
Okay. Who's the rest of all these children? They just all hanging all the families together. Yeah. All right. Because I was thinking, you guys have been fruitful and multiplied. I was going to give you the fruitful and multiplied crown. I'm glad I asked. Anybody else changing somewhat while we're talking? It's all the way? So you went better, better, and now you know it's, and you've just been faithful and checking and thanking God. See, I wish y'all be doing that with me, like thanking God and checking. Yeah? What happened? I mean, what are we believing for? You couldn't do that without pain because it was in your bones, fingers, knuckles. Was it arthritis? And it was bothering you pretty bad? Or really bad or somewhat bad, just noticeably bad. Yep, yep. Was there ever a time that you couldn't find it if you'd looked for it? Like it was always there? Like if you did this, you could find it? Is it there at all? Nothing. When's the last time you did that and had nothing? How many? Long time. Years. It's been that long. Guys, this isn't like coincidence. This is God teaching us what it means to not let go, to keep believing. Don't draw conclusions. Don't change faith. Yeah? What happened? Completely? So you just got completely healed. When did that just completely happen? Just right now. So you're a piece of my popcorn in the bag. Good. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do you know you're healed? You just know. So you know what it was like. None at all. When's the last time there was none? You can't tell me. Guys, she has no pain and can't tell me the last time. And it wasn't like that the whole night while we were praying. That just happened. Just now. Guys, come on. What's he teaching us? Never let go. Oh, that's so good. How about the scoliosis? Is there a way to know or check that?
Well, it just felt really good.
Okay, good. Sometimes it's really extreme, or you can feel it, or somebody can tell. I went through a season where I can't even explain it. I was watching scoliosis come out of people that was mind-boggling. Like, I mean, twisted, crippled scoliosis. Humped. I watched a lady in Virginia grow 4 inches. You don't have to believe me. 4 inches. She went boom, 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 boom. Oh, it was crazy. You know how when somebody jams a bass and you can hear it in your body, like boom, boom, boom. That's how her bones, when they were popping, was like, oh. And she grew 4 inches because she was so twisted. Her arms were like this from scoliosis. And her body just went, and God just straightened her out and stretched her 4 inches. Because that happened, they brought a 21-year-old girl the next day that was like that. Mom was so freaked out. Mom just ripped her shirt up. I'm like, Mom. She said, well, I know my baby. I'm checking my baby. She said, we never prayed for the girl. I was just talking to her. And I said, show me something that was hard to do that you would be able to test after we pray. She went to do it and totally did it. And the thing was, it was already going. We never even prayed. Yeah. See, it's not your prayer. Anybody else change in the last bit? That was exciting that happened to her. Pardon? Is something changing in you? Yeah, a little bit? Good. Let me ask you this question. I know it's 10 o'clock. Forgive me. I drove down here to preach the gospel. But who's sitting here, you say, we've been praying, I've been checking, and nothing changed in my body? Just be honest. Let me know who you are. Nothing changed at all. It's the same as it was the very first time when they prayed. Let me see leave your hand up. Is your person still here? Because you're not getting another person. Did your person leave? Okay, so he needs another person. Is your person still here? Who was your person? Yeah, you? Okay. Don't change your person and don't change your prayer. We're going to do this for kicks. Just one time. Do you have your person? Yeah? Everybody got their person? Now listen carefully. Be honest with me. When you get prayed for and nothing changes, the temptation is to think. To think, what's wrong with me? Is there something I'm doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? Did they give me a person that even believes? Listen, Jesus is enough. Nobody's changing people. Now watch this. 5 seconds of the same thing you've been believing. Don't change your prayer. Just sincerely believe that same thing and tell that thing to change. Speak to that mountain right now for 5 seconds, please. Go ahead. Speak to it. Right now. There's about 7-8 people we're praying over. In Jesus' name. Amen? Yep. Good. You guys got it. Please bear with me. I know it's 10 o'clock, guys. I get it. But check your bodies, please, one more time. One more time. Who in my last group, 7 or 8 people, who in my last group notices any change at all? Anybody? Check it. Check it. Did you just raise your hand? A little bit? Just a little bit. Like a 30% or something? Not even? Okay. So, but let me ask you this. Now, you're not saying that to make her feel good, right? It just feels better. But nothing changed up until that last time. That was the first time you noticed any change. Okay, interesting. Anybody else have any change that time whatsoever?
I broke my back when I was like 27.
Gee. You did this elbow when you were 25, broke your back when you were 27. Buddy.
I definitely can feel like there's more life going through.
Okay.
Now, without an MRI,
no, no, that makes sense. But your body's telling you,
I feel
different. I feel better.
More flexibility, more.
You would know. It's your body. No, that's great. Did that just happen?
It was earlier.
Okay.
But I feel like it's still moving.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Real quick, it's just a handful of you that we prayed for. Anything change at all in anybody else? So what we're doing is she just started a little bit, enough to acknowledge it. He's a little bit, enough to acknowledge it. What are we learning? Let's not change our mind. Now listen, I'm talking to the people that were somewhat healed. That's more of a no-brainer for us. We're rejoicing in that. Don't go home and say, why wasn't I all the way healed? Go home and say, wow, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in me. Yeah? Now watch. If your body did not change, this isn't addressed in most sessions where people pray for the sick. If your body didn't change, it's the same response. Go home, watch. Wow, Father, thank you tonight. Just for that person in faith, pray and believe in your love for me. I so appreciate what you're doing in me. Thanks for making me whole. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for healing my body. Go to bed that way, wake up that way. And let's watch and see what God's doing in you. Tomorrow, if you're here, I might ask at some point, hey, who was here? Did anything change? Or come and let me know, just so we know. Because it's not for me. Can you tell I'm already encouraged and I could go all night?
Amen.
It's for you to be encouraged. Amen. The lady that stood up late, the neck thing, did anything change? Okay. So it's not the best time to check. So you'll need time. Okay, good. But you'll let me know if I see you anymore this weekend or even by Sunday morning. Just let me know what you're... Okay, let's do this. Father, we just thank you for who you are, what you're doing, what you're teaching us. God, thank you for healing. Thank you for the things that are changing and the things that are going to change. We don't say that lightly. That's not a plan B. That's faith through you, King Jesus. So, Father, continue to father our hearts, empower us, and continue to send us out as seeds in society that things might grow all around us that look just like you. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. What time are we here tomorrow, Pastor? You want to close out? You need to share anything? Or?
10 o'clock.
No? 10 o'clock. Listen, I've been late enough. Pastor's not even getting up here. He said, dude, you done took all this time. We love you. Hug somebody. We'll see you at 10 if you can be here. If not, I'll be here. But love you. Bless you. Bye-bye.